Good evening. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Justice on Wheels program takes the Wisconsin Supreme Court on the road and gives people outside Madison a chance to observe the court in action during an oral argument. Since 1993, the program has brought the court to 31 locations. On Monday, the Wisconsin Supreme Court heard oral arguments in two cases at the Richland County Courthouse in Richland Center as part of the court's Justice on Wheels outreach and education program. More than 10,000 people have witnessed or participated in Justice on Wheels. The proceedings attract a standing room only crowd. Before each argument, local attorneys provide the audience, including students and teachers, with an explanation of the case to be heard and a short civics lesson. In her welcome, Richland County Circuit Court Judge Lisa McDougall stated that even in a small town, bold ideas can leave a lasting mark. The day began by honoring retired Chief Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, who actually began her path down law in the Richland County courtroom.
In 1968, I served as an assistant clerk of Circuit Court, a summer job, temporary, but that's, I think, what launched me into this legal career. And the then Circuit Clerk, Carl Gunnell, offered me a job, and I said yes. I was excited to have it.
Justice on Wheels gives students, teachers, and the general public an opportunity to observe the Supreme Court at work without having to travel. As part of the program, the justices recognized local students who participated in its essay contest. Ava Fargin, a fifth grader at Ithaca Schools, received a plaque for her first place entry. Sawyer Perkins and Lydia Hall, both students from the Kickapoo School District, were also recognized as runners-up. The justices then heard arguments on two cases. The first, Savannah Wren versus Columbia St. Mary's Hospital, Milwaukee, Incorporated, concerning the granting of immunity to health care providers for allegedly negligent actions at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic as an unconstitutional violation of an individual's right to a jury trial. Wren's child was stillborn in May of 2020. The second case, State versus KRC, which addresses Miranda rights when a student is questioned in a school resource office and police in the resource officer's office. KRC is a 12-year-old student who was called to the resource officer's office for questioning with a police officer. Those in attendance saw how the state Supreme Court actually works. There are no shortcuts in the Justice on Wheels program, according to Ann Walsh Bradley.
This program, Justice on Wheels, started in 1993. The first sitting was in Green Bay, the second in Eau Claire, and the third, where I was a circuit court judge, in Wausau. But wherever we are around the state, we go once a year to bring the court to the people, and this is an example of that.
While no conclusions were drawn, a decision on the cases will be made.
The results will certainly be unfolded by June 30th, probably much earlier than that, but we have to have all of our cases out by the end of the term, which is June 30th. But there's a process. There will be the justices conferencing the case. One of the justices will be assigned to write the case. And then comments by other justices will be made regarding that distribution of a draft opinion, and then a dissent or a concurring opinion may unfold. So there's a lot of process yet between now and when the opinion is actually released to the public.
In the state's argument over Miranda rights in schools, it was mentioned that with more schools hiring resource officers, guidance may be needed in what Miranda looks like in schools. After serving 30 years on the Supreme Court, I was able to ask the former justice what it felt like to be on the other side as a spectator.
It was a unique experience. I'm used to being right in the middle, having served on the court for 30 years, so you can imagine that there is a lot of routine and habit in my attitude and in my behavior when I am at sitting of the court. That is, it's a routine in oral argument. And now it's on the other side of the bench, and it's the right place for me to be at this time in my life, but it certainly is remarkable.
That is former Chief Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, a Richland Center native, at Monday's Justice on Wheels at the Richland County Courthouse. SSM Health St. Clair Hospital Baraboo now offers certified nurse midwifery services as SSM Health expands its midwifery services to serve Baraboo and the surrounding areas. With this expansion, certified nurse midwives are now available for appointments and will provide labor and birth care in Baraboo. Midwives provide care to women during pregnancy, labor, birth, and the postpartum period. Certified nurse midwives also provide general health services, annual checkups, family planning, and treatment for common infections and health concerns. Certified nurse midwife services include personalized care tailored to each woman's health goals, emotional and physical support during labor and birth, education and guidance for self-care and newborn care, breastfeeding support and lactation counseling, routine women's health and gynecological care, and family planning and reproductive health services. If a patient chooses midwifery care for their pregnancy and delivery, midwives will provide prenatal care and attend their birth at the hospital. Midwives partner with SSM Health physicians for added support. Three certified nurse midwives, Amy Fisher, Taylor Fry, and Brittany Schultz, are now serving patients at SSM Health Dean Medical Group, Baraboo. Patients often choose midwives because they like their approach to health care. Fisher stated, "Midwifery focuses on wellness and preventive health. We consider patients' physical and emotional health and social relationships, and we work with them to optimize their health. Patients who want to empower themselves, educate themselves, and optimize their health should consider midwifery care for their gynecologic and obstetric needs." To schedule an appointment, call 608-294-6246. The Riverdale One Act has advanced two sectionals. This past Friday saw both Brookwood and Riverdale High Schools performing their one-act plays for three judges in the District 10 Theater Festival. Both groups of young actors performed well and will advance to the Section 3 Festival in 2 weeks on Saturday, November 8th at DeForest High School. Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have risen 17.8 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.79 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy's survey of over 3,000 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 3.5 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and stand 7.9 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.35 a gallon, while the most expensive was $3.48 a gallon, a difference of $1.13 a gallon. The national average price of gasoline has risen 2.5 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $3 a gallon. The national average is down 10.8 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands 7.4 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to Gas Buddy data compiled from more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has increased 4.7 cents compared to a week ago and stands at $3.64 per gallon. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said, quote, "The national average saw a slight rise over the last week as gas prices surged in parts of the Midwest after a refinery fire pushed wholesale gasoline prices sharply higher in the region." He added, "While the spike in prices in affected areas was significant, relief is likely in the weeks ahead as the situation stabilizes. For now, the possibility of a U.S.-China trade deal could lift oil prices on optimism that it would increase trade and reduce tariffs, potentially keeping the national average slightly above the $3 per gallon mark for a couple more weeks before slipping back below $3 ahead of Thanksgiving. Police are refuting claims made on social media against staff at a Madison Middle School. A post accusing staffers at White Horse Middle School of sexually assaulting a student went up last week, causing Madison school officials to perform an investigation alongside police. Police reviewed security footage and took interviews over the weekend and issued a statement on Monday, calling the post inaccurate and potentially harmful. They thank the public for expressing concern and say they take allegations like this very seriously. The deadline to participate in Wisconsin Extension's interactive program, Cultivating Your Farm's Future, is approaching. The program will help those who have questions about farm succession. Two workshop series will be held in the coming months, with the first coming soon. The deadline to register for the November-December workshop series is this Thursday. Family members do not have to be in the same household to be a part of the virtual workshops. You can register online at farms.extension.wisc.edu/program/cultivating-your-farms-future. For more information, contact Joy Kirkpatrick by email at joy.kirkpatrick@wisc.edu or call 608-263-3485. Richland Center High School choirs will present a fall concert tonight at 7:30 in the high school auditorium. There are 30 freshman singers this year and 86 upperclassmen. The evening will include a mixture of old standards and new treasures. Cost of admission is $5.